My Epic Movie. This week we are talking about The Ghost of the Darkness, another Quintober selection, which I found kind of strange. However, it's a good discussion. I apologize for my voice, apparently I'm losing it. But anyway, thanks for continuing to follow us, thanks for continuing to view us. Do all those things you do to keep on the show. We appreciate you. Thanks.
This week, we're watching Ghost in the Darkness, a movie so white it needed a white savior for the white savior. I'm your host, Nick Hoffman, and on panel we've got...
Atlanta author Matthew W. Quinn, the Quintoberfest continues.
Atlanta comedian Candace, hi.
Yeah, and you can, of course, watch Candace and I, along with Noor, Christine, Larry, and Evan, as we are Cineprov riffing at the moment right now. At Roundtrip Brewery and Atlanta Comic Con, and we're just around. So follow us on Facebook, and you'll see where we are in the Atlanta area. So Matt, as you alluded to at the beginning of this, this was your pick for another Quintober episode. What's your background with this film, buddy, and why did you pick it?
When it first came out, I wasn't allowed to watch it. My parents had to be rather strict on R movies, so I didn't actually see it until probably like 2009, and I thought it was... pretty good. I remember the CGI. There's a CGI failure when like he has a nightmare about the lion eating his wife. Uh-huh. And I watched it again, and it actually wasn't so bad.
So yeah, there's much worse parts than that.
We shall see.
Well, and I will say, I saw this in 1996. I would guess six or early seven. I didn't see this in theaters. I saw it as a rental from Blockbuster. Mm. And this is one of those ones where like we rented it, and we were like, can we turn it off? No, we spent $7 to rent it, so we finished it. And I watched it with...
The question is, did you rewind it before you returned it?
We rewound it before we returned it, okay, but not good. So that we could watch it again, because we just wanted to return it.
Yeah.
With a personal friend, Matt Hecker, and I remember watching it. This came out the same year as Independence Day, just to kind of contextualize CGI and what horror was at the time. And this movie just feels like a weird... I don't even know how to put it. Part of the problem for me is this is four different movies kind of crammed together, and any of them would have been a better idea. This movie is all over the place, so I guess we've got to get through this. Matt, you want to give us the plot synopsis?
This really happened. Michael Douglas's character isn't real, but everyone else is.
Okay.
And it's in the 1800s, and the British are building a railway in East Africa. And two maneless male lions, guess two bachelors who allied together, but because viewers aren't really aware of a lot of things, they decide to give them manes anyway, are eating all the workers. So what's his name? Patterson, played by Val Kilmer, who's Irish, who's in charge of the project, has to... kill the lions, because otherwise the workers are all going to leave and the railroad will not get built. And he's got a real jackass of a boss breathing down his neck.
Beaumont, I believe.
Yeah, Beaumont. And then somehow, for some reason, Michael Douglas, whose character isn't actually real, shows up with a gray warrior mullet and a death wish to help him kill the lions that eat people, that are eating everybody.
And okay. That kind of sums it up.
Good night, everybody.
That was 2 hours of my life.
Yeah. So this movie, Matt said, is based on a true story, which it kind of is, except for the fact that they changed everything, so none of it matters.
There is a bridge. That is true.
This movie exhausted me. I don't know. Okay, so Matt, you are kind of the king of saying you saw this and you wanted to see it but weren't allowed to see it. I watched this trailer with my wife before we watched it to see if she wanted to actually watch it with me or if I had to watch this sadly on my own. Mm-hmm. What about this made you want to watch this? And this is not judgment, because the trailer is nutso.
If I saw the trailer, and I was in late elementary, early middle school when this movie came out.
Yeah, 96.
I mean, it's a monster movie, only it really happened.
You keep saying it really happened. I don't think that's in the trailer. So, and by the way, I thought they were lying because when they show the credits at the beginning, it says based on a true story. I thought it was kind of like Fargo where they just said that and it's actually not based on a true story. So when I looked it up and they're like, Savo. The Savo lions are like, and I was like, holy shit, this is a thing. It has a Wikipedia entry.
Yeah. It's a real thing.
Which is sad.
And the Patterson's son, you know, the little baby in the bonnet who shows up occasionally, became a scientist at the Field Museum, and that's where the two lions are stuffed on display.
Well, here's the thing. I've seen those lions. I've been to that museum. I just didn't connect the two until I was like, oh, I see. Because you can pull it up. You can look at Wikipedia. These maneless lions, which are very strange. In fact, earlier I made the joke.
Aren't most male lions maneless anyways?
Maybe when they're young.
I think that is the case. Yeah. There's only like one that's popular that has a mane, and because it looks like that, everyone expects it.
I think
to be
there's
like that.
The Savo is full of thorn brushes where manes are a liability, so the surviving males don't have manes.
Right, that makes sense.
This is the Lion King nonsense, right? Like everyone saw the Lion King, they saw the lion with the mane, and they're like, people are too dumb.
It's true.
But also,
I mean, I'm not gonna say this movie stole a couple things from Lion King. But he's like, hold your son up high. I mean, come on, that was. It was fucking Lion King.
Yes.
Instead of saying.
La da 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 da.
Exactly like that. Hans Zimmer would be proud.
Maybe he could have had to go his boot on the last dead lion while holding his son up.
Yeah, exactly. So.
Yeah. So this movie is doomed from the start.
It is.
It is written by an interesting guy. It's a guy named William Goldman. He has two Oscars. Not for this, don't worry. But he wrote several of my favorite movies, including The Princess Bride. He wrote All the President's Men. He wrote Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid. None of that is in this. No. It was directed by a guy named Stephen Hopkins, and here's the problem. He produced the 1998 movie Lost in Space.
Previous episode, maybe.
With Matt LeBlanc. That's what this movie's missing.
Oh, dude, could you imagine if Matt LeBlanc was trying to do an Irish accent?
Better movie.
How you eating? Or is that the wrong one?
No, that's the one.
Yeah, that's the one. He also directed The Dangerous Game from 88, The Nightmare on Elm Street, The Dream Child, and Predator 2.
Previous episode, Predator 2, which I liked better than Predator 1.
You sure did. He also directed the next year, Lost in Space, ladies and gentlemen. So that's exactly where he is.
Okay.
And at least in my head, that kind of explains this. The thing that bothered me the most, and we'll get to it, is this movie, the lions may or may not be magic, because this movie would have been a tight 90 minutes if they didn't keep going into slow motion all the time.
That's the fucking time. I guess, can I kind of spoil it and say what I thought about the movie right offhand so you'll know where everything I'm coming from is for this movie?
Go ahead.
I hated this movie. I had never seen it before. I watched it today, and it stole 2 hours of my life. This movie could have been a 60-minute documentary, and it would have been fine. But at every moment, I was like, please, God, let my suffering end. Why is everyone so inept? Just shoot the fucking lion. And I remember screaming that several times at the screen. And Chris laughed. And I was like, this is no laughing matter. I was like, let's just fast forward. Can we just hurry up and fast forward so I can say I watched it? He was like, absolutely not. That is a disservice to the show. You told him you would watch it. And I was like, fuck. So I did.
You're going
to
suffer like all those people got eaten by the lions.
I know, at least, exactly. See, at least the lions got some kind of like, you know, the people ended their suffering because the lions killed them, but not me. I just had to sit at home and think about it then afterwards.
My wife sighed at one point and just went to bed. No, it's exactly what it was. Like, and here's the thing. Let's just spoil it outright. This movie doesn't know what it wants to be. Because at times it wants to be an action movie. At times it wants to be a horror movie. At times it wants to be a gritty drama. Because, like, if this was a horror movie, the first thing we would see is the lion killing someone, right? And then the guy who doesn't know what he's getting into gets into it.
Right.
But instead, the beginning of it
is we start in the boardroom.
With
an overly mean boss.
And Val Kilmer playing Patterson, who goes in and out of an accent like no one I've ever seen.
Very fluid.
It's like, you know, I'm the best bridge maker you can make. God damn it. I've been in India, and I will make your bridge. And he's like, and his boss is like, you know, I'm a bit of an asshole. And
just a bit of an asshole.
And but that's what it is. And so, like, the beginning of this, you're like, okay, so is this going to be a story about a man and a bridge and a prod? Is this the Robert Caro story? No, it's not. It's we're not building a bridge. It's going to be a great white hunter story. Yeah.
This is Bridge Over the River Kwai. If it was made but done by Alan Quatermain.
But that's even a better movie than this.
With lions instead of the Japanese.
Yeah.
So okay, Matt, help us out here. The first movement of this is what he sets up the boardroom and then he goes to Africa, Mother Africa, because he's fucking loves Mother Africa, right?
Basically. And then he gets met at the train station by Angus, the most earnest man alive.
Yes, Angus, who you may know as King Chikala from Black Panther.
Yes, same dude.
I don't remember him being white.
Okay. I'm sorry. Not Angus. You're talking about Angus, the preacher. Yeah. Okay.
I was thinking of Sam.
My bad.
Sam is the native foreman.
Yeah. That's right. My bad.
Yeah, the guy who plays, his name is Brian McCarty. He's not in anything else that you've heard of. Like,
duh, it's because he got killed. How could he be?
Shh, the lion killed him. Shh. Oh, no.
Say it quieter, the lions will get you.
We also meet a man with an incredible face, is what you were talking about.
Yes.
John Connie, who was, yes, he was T'Chaka. In Captain America, Civil War, and in Black Panther. He's in Coriolanus, the one that came out in 2011. He's in everything. Like, the guy has been in 1,000 things. He's a good actor.
I take that back. Brian McCarty was in something else. He was the friend of Jax in Titanic, which is only funny because we have another character in this movie who was also in Titanic.
We do.
But please continue.
Oh, no.
Does he die in that one, too?
Yeah.
So we effectively have this whole story going on where we have a man, a bridge, and a story. And Val Kilmer, who's playing an Irishman named Patterson, is trying to build this bridge with, you know, African labor. I mean, this is the British Empire at work here.
I think most of the workers are Indian because they have Abdullah, the leader of the workers, who he's a real smart ass. Like, at one point, he's like, of course you can do anything, you're white. He's like, I heard that.
Yeah. Well, and actually, it's because they actually have all three types of persons there is really the problem, is nobody can get along.
Right.
Right, because like you said...
All they can agree is that the white people are evil.
I mean, you know, listen, if it's one thing we can all get behind, it's we don't like the colonizers, right? But...
if it walks like a duck and quacks like a
duck. You know, but it's one of those things that, like, you have...
But he's Irish, so he's a colonized person who is also colonizing. It's meta.
That would be if he could decide on an accent, because that's most true. Of the time he's just like, is he American? Because he kind of...
Maybe.
Like,
God gave the Irish whiskey so he wouldn't rule the world, then he made us stubborn enough to try or something like that.
Oh, yeah, he does say some dumb phrase like that.
They beat Family Guy, that Family Guy joke about whiskey, by about 20 years.
Yeah, it's so anyways, yeah, he meets Sam, he meets Angus.
By the way, did you notice your favorite character in this? The Doctor. Do you remember the Doctor?
Yeah.
Do you know who he is? He's one of your favorites. On top of being Captain Smith from Titanic, he is Theoden! From Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
And he fucking rules.
He does fucking
rule. I love a good drunk doctor type. He's like, oh, yes, I almost forgot. Like, he's here the whole time.
He's mad. I mean, he's just literally here. He's here for the malaria.
Well, and the thing about this all is, okay, so these lion attacks show up 2 or 3 days after they arrive. That's Patterson's story, and he's sticking to it. And so they all want to blame the white people, which, frankly, you know what? If I was in Africa, I'd blame a lot more on the white people at this time. But whatever. They're building a bridge across. Matt, you look this up. This is Kenya?
It's in Uganda.
Uganda. Okay. So they're in Uganda. They're building this, the British. And they're saying, you know, the French and the Germans are building shit, too. What are we going to have? A world war? That's hilarious. Meanwhile, the Belgians are making tires out of the Congolese. thank God we have a white hero who's here to save the day. Now, we have Angus, who is, what, the foreman, I guess?
I think he's a some kind of project manager type, although most of what he seems interested in is religion.
Well, the whole strange thing is, I don't understand why they need Patterson at all. Because it seems like everything is going fine before he arrives, and then when he arrives, things go tits up. So I don't get the purpose of his character, and that's another problem. I'll just mention this briefly because it matters a lot to the second half of this. This is a Michael Douglas production, capital M, capital D. I love Michael Douglas movies. He got his first Academy Award in his 20s for producing, and therefore he won for Best Picture. The Academy Award for One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. He's made a lot of movies I like, including acting. He was in Wall Street. He was in The China Syndrome, which he both wrote, produced, and was a star in.
So he was Kevin Costner before Kevin Costner?
Yes, but good at what he did. I said good, not Kevin Costner, who's not good at what he does. So in this, you get a lot of a lot of Michael Douglas stuff, which is an environmental message. He's very environmental. You get a lot of, how do I even put this? So he's got a lot of positive female roles in his stuff. Of course, Jane Fonda got nominated for the Condor because of China Syndrome, which he was part of. But to deal with the fact that this could be really racist and really misogynistic, he just removes all female characters from it. Like, there's no National Geographic moment of the strong African woman with her tits out.
Which, no.
You know what? Frankly, this is R-rated. There could have been. Just don't sexualize it. Just have strong African women warriors, because there would have been strong African women warriors, and there were. They just erased them from the picture. But there's this kind of like weird, like, I'm trying to say something about being in Africa without saying anything about being in Africa. It's very strange. Though, because I know I love my friend here, at the time he had just gotten married to Catherine Zeta-Jones. Oof. So he was probably too busy, like, having some sweet, sweet Zeta Jones to care about any of this.
Previous episodes, Mask of Zorro and the Phantom.
Oh, God.
He was probably...
She's a stone-cold hottie. Yeah. And to be fair...
Sal the Air Pirate was air pirating him to Africa.
And this is my favorite... And this is a story of masculinity and heroism. But the man liked cunnilingus so much, he got cancer. And he survived it. He got stage 4 cancer from HPV in his throat, and he survived. And that's Michael Douglas, baby. And now he's your great white American hunter. Because you know what we needed when Val Kilmer was your hero? Someone who was even more American.
Yeah, because I'm not going to call this...
Did Val Kilmer also have throat cancer?
Val Kilmer is dying of throat cancer, yes.
Yeah, okay.
And by the way, I cried...
Was his also from cunnilingus?
I hope so.
Yeah,
that's a good way to get it. If I'm going down, I'm going down with foot. I'm
going You're down, going down because of going down.
I'm going down, going down. I will say, though, that scene in Top Gun Maverick where he couldn't talk, I cried like a child. I was like,
ah! It was rough.
And when at the end he puts his hand on his shoulder and he goes, "You can do it." And I'm just, Dude, there was not a dry eye in this house. I pretended I was coughing so I could rub my eyes.
Yeah, I'm not going to call this a white savior movie because that's actually what happened, but it is an American savior movie because his character isn't real.
I will also say, still call it a white savior movie because when Patterson writes the book about how great he is, it still stinks a little bit. And also, if I read the Wikipedia article right, which I may or may not have, there were about 20 people on that hunt, of which 9 shot the lion at the end. And it's amazing how in this movie it's just one guy. A guy who builds an ark. He's like, what if this structure I made out of popsicle sticks could allow me to shoot the lion? It's so much.
Michael Douglas, though, he wasn't real, but he's having the time of his life. Like, he shows up with a gray warrior mullet and like 50 Maasai warriors who, to become a man in their culture, you have to kill a lion by yourself.
Dude,
and he's just ripping everybody a new one.
There's a scene where he's doing, after doing a dance, which, I mean, Michael Douglas can get stoned and dance around a circle all he wants, but they drink cow's blood and he starts hallucinating. And that's really a scene where decisions were made. And here's the thing.
Strong creative choices. Is that your word?
Strong creative choices. Exactly. And here's the thing. We've talked about this before. Horror movies are best when they're just horror movies, right? When a dude in a mask or a lady in a mask oftentimes just kills people. The second you start adding mythology, it gets real sloggy real quick. It's got a squishy middle. And like when they start like explaining all of this nonsense, you know what? I don't care. If you're going to make it Muldoon hunting the velociraptors, just make it fucking Muldoon hunting the velociraptors. I don't need like them going back like, oh, this is taking months. And the whole thing that he's like, I need to be back in, my wife is giving birth in 6 months, so I'll tell you what, I'll make your bridge in 5 months. Go fuck yourself. Because apparently in real life this took 9 months, so I guess that kid was just born without him, so whatever.
Yeah, the most unbelievable part of this movie wasn't the lions or the boss or anything. It was that his wife didn't mind him going to Africa while she was giving birth to their first child.
Well, don't worry, it wasn't
his. She's the most unbelievable character.
Don't worry, it wasn't his anyway.
Oh, okay.
That's right. He was off building bridges in India when she happened to get pregnant.
That's right.
I know everything about gravity, but not the uterus. Him finding the clitoris.
You can't get pregnant if you're on top. Everybody knows that.
That's right.
Duh.
He's finding the clitoris.
Matt, that's actually a lie. Don't believe that.
That's right. He's finding the clitoris with like a map, like with a sextant he's drawing.
They'll travel by map.
It's an Indiana Jones scene. He cuts to a map, and there's just like a mound with a forest on it. He's like,
that's right. Traveling to the bush. Find the bush by map. So. All right, so let's start off with the things I'm mad about. Number one.
Christ on a cracker.
Number one, I appreciate that they're like, okay, we've been pestered by a lion, so I'm gonna show the people that I'm in charge, I'm the boss, I'm gonna kill this lion, so then everyone will respect me as the bridge builder. Okay, that's a cute idea. So he does that. Here's the deal. Why don't you just burn all those fucking waves of grain that are just like flowing out around this fucking where you're building this whole damn time. I mean, you could literally, with all the dudes you had, you could have taken some sites and gone out there and cleared that shit in a day. And then you'd see any fucking lion coming up on you, okay? You could have just set the shit on fire and you would have cleared it out and you'd already been, had a better chance. Like at every minute, I was so mad because I had like 20 other better ideas for killing this lion, to the point where then I was like, you know what? You deserve to die. Y'all suck. You're idiots. I hope the lions eat every fucking one of you.
Here's the thing. You hit exactly the point that I was going to make, which is this movie is an exact one-for-one ripoff of Jaws. And that's why they couldn't burn down the planes, because they still need the water to hide the shark in, right? Because what's happening at the beginning? We're going to have a festival, and you definitely can't stop. We're building a bridge, and you definitely can't stop. Here's the expert who's supposed to be there. And then we have to bring in an outside expert to kill him. And then, well, the thing's hiding in the water. What do? They're hiding in the plains. What are we going to do? Like, it's one for one exactly Jaws.
Yeah. The reason is you couldn't empty out the water and lake. You could have just burned that fucking field down.
That's
and
right.
You'd have seen it. You'd have done. Easy.
This is just, it's easy. So much.
I was so mad at every moment I was mad about it. I digress. Let me go back.
The reluctant sigh is so good, because I realized I was thinking so halfway through this because I was watching it with my wife until she got so bored she fell asleep. This is a we could riff this on Cineprov.
That's you know, we really could. So anyways. So let's talk about the first life that is claimed.
Oh, it's the dude whose face is a special effect. The man is tall, he's lean, he has the greatest cheekbones I've ever seen. He's the one who's like, don't worry. He has a voice that is so low that if I imitated it, it would sound like I was making
fun
of him.
So he is the Warrior King Shaka Zulu. Mm-hmm.
For real?
Yeah, he played him.
He's so good.
Yeah.
And the man has...
That was definitely a nod to that film.
It has to be.
It has to be.
And he is like, the guy is incredible. He has this great voice. He's strong. He's tall. He's lean. And when he dies via lion cam, it is amazing and is stupid.
I would like to call it Simba cam, because as we know,
it drags him out like through the grass like 5 minutes, like a water slide. All the people
are running around yelling Simba, Simba.
Okay, and so Matt, you gave what I assume is what the producer, probably Michael Douglas himself, said. You know, we decided to give the lions mane so that Americans wouldn't be confused, because female lions, they do the hunting, but they don't have manes. So we decided to give them manes. It's because there's no lions within 200 miles of this production. I would guess they just went to the San Diego Zoo, filmed some lions mildly eating something, because you never see the lions do anything other than breathing heavily, and then there's a CGI nonsense or a puppet grab someone and pull them away.
So they did use real lions on the set.
I think for this, like back in the States, right? Like this is the ones they could have.
Yes, yes. They used the ones back in the States that were Hollywood-based lions. A couple of them were...
The one from MGM. It's these are celebrity lions. The one who goes...
These celebrity lions. A couple of them from like the Ontario Zoo. And then one mechanical lion.
We called him Mufasa.
All right.
We saw that movie too, you guys.
Simba, thank you very much.
You don't spend 2 years at Lion Medical College to be called Mr. Mufasa.
Thank you very much.
But I mean, it is, here's the thing. This is like, this is that Friday the 13th nonsense that they were going for, but it just doesn't land because there's just a guy going, oh no! And he's being pulled through the underbrush by a lion. And then there's like a ragged piece of clothing that catches on like a bush. And you're just like, that's going to matter in the future. Oh God. And then smash cut to a bunch of vultures eating his corpse.
Yeah. So then we continue to see constant uprising of, you know, the workers are like, we're scared, you must protect us. He's like, don't worry, I got it. And they realize they ain't got shit.
Well, and this is, again, this is a Jaws scene. Yeah. Because when the first, like, the nude blonde dies, which is played by this hot black guy, then they go out and they kill a different shark. And so this is when he shoots another lion. Because this is, again, beat for beat. And this is where, like Matt pointed out earlier, we have Middle Easterners, we have Indians, and we have Africans all together.
Right.
Because that was their labor force at the time. Though they minimized the point of the Indians being there, which is that the Indians were mostly sepoys who are going to help actually do the hunting. They were brought in because they were military. And again, this is a white savior movie, so no one else can matter except for the white guys who are doing the hunting. But that's kind of the point here. But yeah.
See, I took it separately that the majority of the Indian folks that were there, like Abdullah and his crew, were there because they had helped build bridges in India, so they already had the knowledge of how to do it, and they were, it was almost like bringing in people who already know how to do something, and they're teaching the new workforce how to do it as well, even though they still weren't the foremans necessarily, but they, you know, it's just like in medicine, they're the old nurses teaching the young nurses, even though technically everyone is still a nurse kind of concept.
I mean, I think you're explaining it how the movie does.
Yeah.
I think in real, like, I mean, what Matt said earlier is that this is supposed to be a historical drama. I think in real life, at the time, the British were using the Indians as a military force, so it makes sense they were there.
That's what you're saying. Okay.
And it feels weird that the only people with guns here are the white guys, which is, can't be how it was, because everyone else is hunting with, like, spears and shit.
Yeah.
And I'm like, there's...
I don't know. I think if everyone else would have had guns, maybe they wouldn't have had so many people fucking die.
Well, I think in the real life, those were the trap with the Indians with the guns, those were actually Indian soldiers, not just, you guys robbed people in India, here are some guns.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Like, this movie has, it's not racist. It's just like, but what if they sucked? Right?
Like, but they still couldn't kill the lions either.
Which is where the magic comes in. Because these people are 2 feet away and they're shooting randomly. They don't hit anything.
Yeah, it's called just walk up next to the fucking grate and shoot it. It couldn't get through the grate. You could just shoot it in the fucking head.
And so there's either two, there's one or two things going on. Either Patterson told a story with magical realism.
114. All right, we're fine. I'm not going to die yet. Continue.
I'll check my heart rate while it's going. At the same time, because again, either Patterson's telling a story where he has to be the hero, because I've read some of this 19th century nonsense. Mm-hmm. I'm only at 87. Thank God for beta blockers, right?
Right. Let's get it up.
Oh my.
The heart rate. That is the heart rate, y'all. Simmer down.
I am hard as the dickens. No.
Simmer down, Nicholas.
Oh my God, Nicholas.
I don't even know what we were talking
about. We were talking about how Abdullah and his team worked in, and it is the movie context versus historical context. So we will move on from that.
And in real life, even the Indian soldiers couldn't kill those damn things. Yeah. They were a real pain.
The way they showed it was the fact that they were 2 feet away. And the problem for me is this movie gets confused whether they're actually like Freddy Krueger or not. Like, is there magic involved? Because... things slow down. These lions seem to be magical. They grow hair where they're not supposed to grow hair because they're going through puberty, I guess. But like the whole thing is this, like you said, the Indian sepoys are in this like train car and they're literally a foot and a half away. There's two of them with guns and they can't hit them at all. And if at the end of the movie, these things are not magic... you got it. They're actually hitting these fucking things.
Well, then I'm going to put it out there. If that is an upsetting context to you of like, is it magic? Is it not magic? It doesn't know. What do you think about The Shining?
Well, but here's the thing.
Here's Simba.
That's directed by a competent director. But to your point.
Yeah.
Reviewers hated that movie at first.
Yeah. Because it's that like, it's like, is this supposed to be a psychological thriller? Was this like magic that happened? Is this just...
Is it alcoholism?
Yeah, is the alcohol... like, what is this? I'm not really sure what this is. So I was just curious if you felt the same way about that.
The difference is, to me, the scene... there's two scenes of like out-and-out magic we see in The Shining. That's where the beautiful woman comes out and turns into the old lady. That's the jump scare. And... the bartender, when he walks in, the bar is empty, and then the bartender shows up and there's a party going on. Mm-hmm. They are treated like normal scenes. The thing that pisses me off here is this movie lets you know that something is wrong because of the slow-mo, the blur to the vision,
okay. And
the screen going bad. Because like if they treated it straight as though they walked out of the tent and then the lines vanished... that's better, because then it treats us like we're adults. Mm-hmm. The second things start to blur, it treats us like we're idiots. And here's the thing. I believe that Michael Douglas, when he was producing this, thought he was like, I don't know what he was thinking. I think he was thinking he was making a historical drama like Matt is saying. But then you got to get rid of some of these horror elements. Like the idea that the person gets pulled away again, like the first death in Jaws, that doesn't matter. The other thing that Jaws does right is we care about everyone else who gets killed. Here they're just like, hey, that worker, they're going to die. That worker, they're going to die. Until Angus dies, there's not another character with a name who gets killed.
That's true.
That's the part that bothered me.
Okay.
I do like the scene where Beaumont shows up. Because eventually our asshole boss shows up. Though he doesn't matter. He should have been killed by the lion, by the way.
He should have.
But when he goes into the hospital and he's like, why are all these people afraid? You know what doesn't matter? Fear. Because I've learned Scientology. Once you get rid of those thetans, you feel better. But like, there's man-eaters. Yeah. They're killing
and
people.
And Beaumont's played by Tom Wilkinson, who just died 3 weeks ago.
Oh, there you go. Friend of the show. By the way, when you said died 3 weeks ago, I was just... Val Kilmer, you got to keep with us, man. I love you. Don't kick it. Please. I know it's bad.
At some point, we want you to show up in season 2 of Willow if they ever actually get around to that.
Oh, they're not doing another season.
Yeah, no, it's got canceled.
They're canceled.
I just... God help me. I mean, and you know, the important thing, though, bridge is getting built. That bridge, background,
that keep bridge it. Is getting motherfucking built.
Isn't it great to be white and in charge of a whole continent?
Can I just say it wasn't a very big bridge? I mean, for all of the the hustle and the bustle. I thought, wow, it's going to be huge. It's going to be over a giant river. I tell you, not that big. And I was a little underwhelmed by it.
So it just this is that stuff that people listen to, which is, you know, the human element, not just talking about a movie. My daughter, who is 7, has an iPad, and she loves YouTubes and likes Mr. Beast. And I was literally watching an episode with her of Mr. Beast today, where he went to Africa to build 100 wells. And at one point, he was helping build a well outside of a hospital where women give birth. And he was like, you know, the problem is, there's a river here. That river, it keeps flooding. So we're going to also build a bridge. And I was just like, Mr. Beast in a Panama hat looking like a dipshit makes so much more sense than this. Because they keep talking, like, the whole point is Patterson is there to build a bridge. And the bridge is the biggest MacGuffin I've ever seen. Yeah. It's just in the background. He's like, you know what I need to build a bridge? A rifle. And like, there's never a scene of him actually directing it. When he first arrives, he's like, you know what I love? I'm going to be here because Mother Africa is the greatest. I love Mother Africa.
I learned everything from the Encyclopedia Britannica.
Did you know that hippos fart out of their mouths? Like, we get that scene where he's talking to Agnes. Angus, like a steak.
Like the cow.
Yeah, I was thinking, you know, there aren't any women in this movie, so if we're going to be fridging a character, they just fridge the least masculine man, and that's Angus.
Which, you know what, honestly, is a shame, because I like Angus. Which is, I guess, supposed to raise the stakes, because he's our buddy who dies.
Yeah.
But they start killing people so willy-nilly that no one gives a shit?
No. So then what happens after a lot of killing for like an hour and a half?
I mean,
Michael Douglas.
Michael Douglas shows up. That's right, because the boss is like, fine, I'll send you Remington or whatever his name is.
Remington, which is instantly the name of a type of rifle.
Yeah, they didn't work very hard on that. He's also the dude who
also a type of razor.
It is. For your lady bits.
That's right. Five blades. Smooth.
Because the first four blades
wouldn't do the trick.
Son of a bitch, my labia needs to be as smooth as like a veal cutlet. So I'm going to need that.
I got a veal cutlet!
I need that fifth one.
Dead.
So, and Remington, of course, has my favorite quote in American history, which is he was talking to Hearst, and he was like, Hearst, there's no war here. And he goes, look, you give me the pictures and I'll give you the war, referring to the Spanish-American War in Cuba. But yeah, no, this is just Remington because guns, and he has guns and he's good with guns. I will say, I feel like this is not of the offensive parts of this movie. The treatment of the Africans, they do an effort, I would guess. I don't know. But the Africans in the war paint that show up with Michael Douglas, and then they do a musical number, and then he dances, and then he drinks animal blood, and then he hallucinates.
Hello, my baby. Hello, my lion. Hello, my manhood ritual. Something, 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 die.
I do like when you improvise. I didn't think this could get worse.
I didn't think this. I was wrong though.
Oh, it can get. I can get worse.
Oh, no. I'm saying that.
Oh,
yeah. So then they've decided how they're all going to go out with their team and whatnot, right, into the woods and track down the lions, and they think it's in the thicket.
Because the big reveal with Angus is there are two of them.
Yes, there's two of them. Master and apprentice.
And so they're on the roof of the shack. And again, we have no idea where they're supposed to be because the hospital is the soft roof. They're just dealing with things magically showing up. I think around here is when I was talking to Matt Hecker and we're like, should we turn this off? And I'm like, nah, man, we paid money to rent it. We're going to keep watching this. And not unlike The Phantom, which you alluded to, we watched last week. They're talking about how many lions they've killed, but like lions keep coming back, bro. So I guess there's infinite lions. It's all dumb. It's all dumb, man.
At least there were in the 1800s. We fixed that.
Yeah, we did. Thanks to global warming and TikTok, there are no more lions. Unless they can fucking sing for Disney.
That's right.
That's right. Also, I like the fact that all of them are wearing Muldoon hats and they're hunting people like fucking Jurassic Park. And again, like, I just want someone to die while saying "clever girl." That would have saved this movie. If you make it a full out like Abram Zucker Abrams like parody movie, like, you're 2/3 of the way there, because this movie wants to be Jurassic Park. This movie wants to be a Freddy Krueger. It wants to be anything, and it's not anything.
It's not. It's the worst.
Because, like, occasionally you pan out, and I don't know where they filmed this, but it does look like the Puerto Rican jungles where they filmed Jurassic Park. Like, and like,
I think a lot of it actually was filmed in Africa, because they talked in the Wikipedia article about how stressful and painful the shoot was.
Like, that would explain how
things kept happening.
If they thought that was bad, they should try watching the movie.
That's right. And that would also explain why it cost so much money. Like, this is another movie that, like, lost a chunk of change, because you move an entire Hollywood studio to Central
Georgia.
Africa,
yeah.
You're going to cost a lot of money. Especially when Michael Douglas have to give all those long looks. He's just like, oh man, I wonder if Val Kilmer's making a mistake here. Hey, you go up in that tree and you shoot those people. I don't know, man. This movie is such a mess. And about where we are, Michael Douglas is using echolocation to tell his, like warriors.
Cuckoo!
Yeah. To spread out. And he's like, hey, you other white guy, you get the shooting position. We're going to figure this out. We're going to shoot some lions.
Well, he was trying to set it up so that way he could shoot it. So that way Val would earn back the respect of his peers and his workers, and that way they wouldn't want to murder him anymore.
But his rifle misfires.
The rifle, gentlemen, we've all been there, am I right?
We've been there. You use someone else's rifle, you fire in their face.
Sure, someone gets in else's their, rifle.
Gets on her glasses or hair.
Yeah, exactly.
It's been there. We've been there.
Promise,
and
officer,
Val Kilmer is not happy that
not
he
rifle.
Used someone else's rifle. Sorry.
He uses the doctor's because he's got a bigger rifle.
It's supposed to be more powerful. My God.
You got to learn your rifle before you use it.
That's right.
Which Val Kilmer says, not Val Kilmer, Michael Douglas says to Val Kilmer.
It's true. So anyways, it's really awkward. It misfires. And I'm like, well, then just fucking fire it again. Fire it fucking, pull the trigger. I cannot tell you how many times I yelled, pull the fucking trigger at my TV. So he doesn't. And then, of course, now all of Michael Douglas's crew also loses faith. And they're like, wow, this must be a magical lion because nobody could suck this much. They're wrong. The lions aren't magic. It's just he sucks that much.
Well, that's the point where, like, I was like, is this stupid fucking magic nonsense? Because he looks at the lion and they, like, make loving eye contact, and he doesn't shoot. And I'm like, this is fucking stupid. You know, like, there's never a scene in a Michael Myers movie where Laurie Strode looks at Michael and's like, you and I, we're the same because we're looking at each other. I just can't kill you.
Insert furry joke here.
Mm-hmm. No, because furries respect this shit. This is nonsense. And meanwhile, Michael Douglas runs up and goes, shoot her! Like, again, Jurassic Park. And eventually Michael Douglas makes a terrible shot, misses by a foot. And again, at this point, the dude who is the African dude who's balding with the weird haircut is like, so they're magic, right? They're clearly magic. I'm afraid of lions this whole time. And you're like, none of this should matter. This should be a movie where two dudes are hunting a lion, if that's what this is. Meanwhile, we go back to building the fucking bridge.
Meanwhile, at the bridge.
This movie is so sloppy.
Listen, that bridge is going to get built, Nick, okay? Bridge is going to get built. So those guys leave, I guess.
I'm going to give it a shit sandwich.
Yeah, so then they, in a final last-ditch attempt, Michael Douglas is like, we need to relocate the hospital. Because it's all the death and smell of blood and skin and whatnot that must be attracting these lions. Because it can't be the fact they're evil or killing for pleasure or, you know, this side or the other. It must be that it's just because of the smell. And so they relocate the hospital someplace way inconvenient, preferably far away from, so that way they can't stop anything bad from happening there. And instead, they hang out in the old hospital and they cover it in blood with everything and they try to trap the lions there. But instead, the lions are too clever. They show up and jack around with them for a little bit. Then they scamper off over to the hospital where they eat everybody.
Including the doctor.
Including the doctor. If only the doctor had his bigger gun.
Well, and here's the thing. Candace, you nailed it. But this
I always
is,
nail it.
Girl. But this is where the movie goes completely to stupid city. Because Michael Douglas shows up and he's like, I'm an American, pow pow! I'm going to tell you exactly what to do. And it's one of those things where, because he's technically now our hero, he's 100% right. They are attracting the lions, but also he can't possibly predict what's going to happen. It's, again, it's also Jurassic Park, which already had come out. It's also Tremors, which had come out. It's also, like, it's also Jaws, which had come out 20 years before this, because it's exactly everything. Because eventually, once again, Val Kilmer, because of potentially magic, can't shoot the fucking lions. Thank God he wrote the book later on.
Jaws came out the same year as Rocky Horror. Just want to remind everybody of that.
And the raw sexuality is in both.
It really is.
Could you imagine?
It's a different set of Jaws. Continue.
It's yes. The best picture.
So I think at this point, all the workers leave. And so
yeah,
Michael
they're
Douglas...
they're like, fuck this shit, I'm out.
And
you're
so Michael Douglas like, and
you know,
Val Kilmer...
we can't afford extras all the time.
Yeah.
So Michael Douglas and Val Kilmer proceed to go out into the bush to go killing. At one point, they find the lair full of bodies. It's like the Jeepers Creepers.
Or Alien or Jurassic Park the book. Because in Jurassic Park the book, they literally find the lair of the Velociraptor, mm-hmm. which is exactly what this is. And he's like, my God, they've killed so many people.
They're killing for fun.
Yeah, and I looked this up because Matt said this is a true story. And I was like, well, he's smarter than I am. I have to look this up. And in Patterson's book, apparently said there was almost 200 people killed, which is what Michael Douglas says. According to historians who did the, or sorry, biologists who did the DNA evidence, apparently it was like 24 killed.
I think they did, there's a little fudge factor, maybe as high as 72, but still not 150.
Yeah, they said, according to, this is gross.
It's the size of the skins of the lions.
And the amount, and the DNA in the keratin in their bones.
Correct, yeah.
It was only 24 different sets of DNA that they had consumed. That doesn't mean they killed more for sport, which is what the Wikipedia article said, which is like, congratulations. What a great line someone control saved. Nailed it. They were like, but what if they killed more for funsies? Question mark.
It happens.
I mean, you should see the people in my path. There were other podcasts, lesser podcasts. They didn't make it.
Because you ate them? Because you ate them?
I shat them out.
Oh my. So
the past tense of shit.
It is.
Nick was marking.
Thank you, grammar.
Nick was marking his territory.
On iTunes.
So then they leave the cave and they come back out and I think they got mad and they decided to like set some shit on fire. Finally, they burned some of the fucking brush.
They kill one of the lions in this whole artificial stand set up.
Yes, God, that looks so fucking dumb.
Well, I mean, but this is where it gets the most like Tremors because like they're alone in a shack. The lion is on the roof. They shoot the roof and they're like, what we need is a killing stand. And then they build the fucking killing stand. And he's literally up there like with like
and
twigs
his whole,
and rope.
His whole reason for it was he was like, they're getting too used to me up in a tree. This is the same fucking thing. You might as well have been in a fucking tree. You're just up on a fucking, you know, wooden horse. It's
Dude,
so dumb.
You say that. This is like Boy Scout, like this is what you give to like the 11th like 11-year-olds. Like it's just like the most basic, like, but what if you're on a slightly higher stand? And meanwhile the Africans are like, yeah, do it, because we want you to fucking die. Like everyone is sick of his nonsense. Because and again, this is the important thing. This should be Val Kilmer's movie. But he is all thumbs the entire time. Like, obviously, he sends his wife away because the idea of a vagina being in this movie for more than 70 seconds is abysmal. But, like, he's bad at everything. We don't see him building the bridge. We don't see him successfully killing the lion till the end. So he is incompetent across the board. And even when he's going to build this little tripod, like, essentially a deer stand that he's going to be in. The whole thing wobbles the whole time because he's not good at that. Give him something he's at least good at, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, but he's totally good at engineering. That's how he's able to make that deer stand. So, and then the owl gets mad at him and tries to knock him out of that deer stand.
Dude, all of a sudden, Lord of the, like, Legend of Zelda shows up and they're like, whoo, whoo, and they knock him the fuck out.
And there's fog, and it's atmospheric.
There's always fog. Fog will get you.
Christ on a cracker.
And they so they eventually kill one, and then the other lion kills Michael Douglas.
Yeah.
In this, like, it just comes in, kills Michael Douglas, and just leaves him there for Val Kilmer to find.
It's true.
It's like, this is like psychological warfare territory.
It is. It is. And I'm like, nobody heard Michael Douglas being pulled away. Apparently, it's because they were too drunk and celebrating the night before from the first kill. And so... So anyways, he ends up finding the other lion and kills him in the end.
Well, after doing what you wanted and setting everything on fire.
Right. Done. Set the whole fucking world on fire. Just watch it burn.
Burn, baby, burn. Right? It's a disco inferno.
So fucking dumb.
Isn't that GM's new company slogan?
Set the whole
fuck
world
it
on.
All, let the world burn.
Fuck it, we'll do it live. So.
But I mean, again, like... His buddy who's afraid of lions, like, he mans up, like, they're shooting lions.
Yeah, just throwing guns, running up with a sword.
Because at this point, the only one left, I think, is Samuel.
That's it. It's just him and Sam there, and whoever helped him build that fucking rickety-ass deer shack. And so, that's it. They shoot the thing. Yay.
From now, like, the tree that looks like the antlers, like... I mean, at this point, I was getting real drowsy. I was trying to fight it.
It was awful. I was just like, please, God, let's be over. And so it was finally, he killed it, thank God. And then they finish building a bridge. Everybody comes back, and his wife shows up with a baby that's not his. The end.
And Samuel has a monologue, you know, you want to see these lions, you must go to America, and if you look into their eyes, you will be afraid.
That's right.
But they're not. They're in the British Museum, right?
They're in the Field Museum in Chicago.
In Chicago.
Oh, in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
So did they, like, the British owe Americans money, or?
They used to be, Patterson made them his rugs.
And he sold them to the Chicago Museum for $5,000.
And his son was an official at the museum. You know, the little bonnet boy you see on the screen a couple times.
A little Nepo baby. Yeah.
There we go. So that's the story. So what's the wrap up? What do we all think?
Yeah, so Matt was.
What do you think, Matt?
I enjoyed it. He's just staring at me now. For those of you who aren't watching on video,
is he staring at you the way the lions stare, or the way like Michael Douglas stares, or the way Val Kilmer stares? There's a lot of staring. I need to know which one.
Dude, Candace, you're madder than I am, but
yeah.
From the fact,
always,
girl. from the moment we see the lion who's caked in what looks like paintball blood, through this entire movie, my question the whole time was, what movie are they trying to make?
All of them at once.
That's the problem.
Yeah.
Like 100%. Like,
yeah.
If it was a straight up horror movie, you could do it. Because Jaws is exactly what this wants to be. If you wanted to make a drama about building something, there is that. Like Candace said earlier, it's the Bridge Over the River Kwai.
Mm-hmm.
This movie is so sloppy. The horror moments didn't scare me. Like, to me, they are stupid jump scare things. Like, if a good horror movie, even a slasher, like nonsense, is always in that mode. You're always afraid of what's going to happen. In this, it was just kind of like, no, we're going to build. Yeah. And then, no, now it's a horror movie. No, now it's a thriller movie where they're hunting. No. Like, you can't have a daylight scene where there's 40 warriors looking for the dude unless there's something scary. That's what Jurassic Park did right, which is that it's Muldoon with the gun. He's the only one with the gun. There's people there who could die, but there's only one hunter. And he's the stereotypical great white hunter. But here, it's even worse because there's dozens of African dudes who don't matter. They're just there to die. It's the stereotype of the black guy dies first plus 1,000. And that makes it worse because then there's no characters.
And I will say, this was a rough watch. If this movie was 60 minutes, it would have been fine. I just think it was drug out too long. Because at first I was like, okay, all right, I get where we're going. I'm on this train. And then it just kept being worse and worse and worse and drug out and drug out. And I'm like, and again, I'm just like, God, guys, come on, get it together. So it was really, really long. That made it worse. If it had been shorter, I probably would have liked it more. That's my take on it. And that's the only time I'll ever say that phrase.
So next week, we return in Quintover to another movie I have not ever seen before.
Oh.
As we visit Mimic.
I am spreading enlightenment wherever I go.
So thank you, everyone who is listening. Do what you do to keep us relevant, because frankly, we just did a movie based in Africa. We charted last year in 7 African nations. I don't think any of them will like this movie or what we had to say about it. But regardless, we appreciated you before you listened to this and after. but anyway, review, listen, share, talk about us, because we're 10 years into this show. And the fact that we keep doing it is because people listen. And obviously, this is what apparently I do on Saturday nights, to have my wonderful, beautiful friends come over and hang out with me, have a couple brewskis, and talk about movies like this. And so you sharing, you talking about it makes us want to record it and do those things. So stay tuned next week and every future week as we do more of these movies for the foreseeable future, at least until we get to episode 500, which, as I'm talking, is only 50 episodes away. Thanks, everyone.
Bye.
Rawr.
Myopia Movies is a podcast production of Dude Letter Podcasting and is produced by Nick Hoffman. It is edited by Ner Trinette and Daniel Suttis and is hosted by Nick Hoffman, with production assistance by Matthew Quinn, Daniel Suttis, and Ner Trinette. The theme song is Surf Shimmy by Kevin MacLeod from incomptech.com. Licensed under the Creative Commons by Attribution 4 license, Creative Commons/licenses by /4.0. Thanks.